I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Perry, I never get tired of hearing Nick Pancrator say, I'm a soldier for Christ. I never tired of hearing that. Thank you, Nick, from wherever you're at right now. Hey, this is the Terry and Jesse Show. This is the Lord's Gym. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady, and my brother.
Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of Our Lady. Jesse, when I hear I'm a soldier of Christ, I think of the marching orders that Bishop Sheen gave us as lay people when he said, who's right. going to save our church? Not our bishops, not our priests, our religious. It's up to you, the people. You have the minds, the eyes, the ears to save the church. Here's what Bishop Sheen said with your marching orders. Your mission is to see that your priests act like priests, your bishops act like bishops, and your religious act like religious. This is what Bishop Sheen said. So, Jesse, that's one of the benefits as a lay person, that we can say things that, you know, priests and bishops really can't say when it comes to renewing the Catholic Church. And, you know, in the 4th century, it was the lay people that saved the church from Arianism. So here at Virgin Most Powerful, we talk about charity and clarity, and we also talk about giving the people God's word every single day on the Terry and Jesse Show. We call it soul food. So, Jess, open up the good book, because there's no expiration date on that book.
Last time I checked.
Yep, me too.
Matthew chapter 12. Verses 46 through 50. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside. Wishing to speak with him, someone told them, your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you. But he said in reply to the one who told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let's take a look a little bit deeper at what the Scriptures have to say to us today.
Yep.
What challenging message does it say to us today? First of all, when Jesus Christ talks about in verse 46 about his brethren, Jesus calls his apostles brethren in many passages, many. Mark, 3:31, Luke 8:19. Jesus calls the apostles my brothers. Why? Because in the Jewish culture, just like in our culture today, I mean, guys walk around calling each other, guys that are on the service, guys that are cops, guys that are paramedics, guys that are football players, wrestlers, baseball players, boxing gyms. You all walk in there, guys call each other, hey, brother.
Right.
Gang members call each other brothers. Hell's angels call each other brothers. That's just something that men have done, I think, done since Adam and Eve.
Yep.
But the word brethren, when you get to it biblically, in the Jewish culture, it has a wide semantic range. And the word brethren in Greek, it has a broader meaning than blood brothers, because since the Hebrew word, there's no Hebrew word for cousin. And so it's customary in the Old Testament, according to the Jews, to use brethren in the Bible for relationships other than blood relationships, cousins, kinsmen, uncles, nephews. You see that over Scripture, the Jews call each other. But moreover, or what's most important for us, is that in the New Testament, you'll find Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, they'll use the word brother for people in the New Testament, because in the New Testament, Christians, although we're not biologically from the same mother, we are related in the new covenant family of God through baptism in the Eucharist. And so that's why you'll see in New Testament theology, we'll call each other brother, because baptism makes us family and the Eucharist keeps us in the family of God. Also, as far as the will of God in verse 50, if you're obedient to God the Father, that's going to create a stronger relationship than natural family bonds. Somebody who walks in obedience to the gospel, you'll find they become more family to you than your blood family. And verse 46, sometimes Protestants think that Jesus is undermining the Blessed Virgin Mary. No. Far from undermining the role of Mary, what Jesus is revealing in verse 46 is the greatness of her divine maternity. Because think about it. She was not merely his natural mother through, you know, she was the mother of God incarnate on a natural level. But she was also the mother of Jesus because she embraced the will of God the Father totally in Luke 1:38 and Luke 1:43 in the Magnificat. She embraces God the Father's will entirely. So her relationship to Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is both physical and spiritual. Physically, because she was predestined to be the mother of the Son of God, and spiritually because she walked in obedience to God the Father's will perfectly. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. And I'd like to just make the connection with Luke chapter 8, 19, because it's the same teaching that can be found. Jesus regards persons who does the will of the Heavenly Father as members of his own family. Therefore, even though it means going against natural family feelings, a person should do just that when he needs to be in order to perform the mission of the Father has entrusted to him. And that's Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesse, I will say this. Pierre de Caussade's book, Abandonment to Divine Providence, here's what he says. Complete loyalty, doing the will of God is where you have complete loyalty to the will of God. That's holiness. So holiness consists of one thing, complete loyalty to God's will. So that's why we always say God's will be done, God's will be done. Why? Because that's our happiness in doing the will of the Father. And it's tied into our show today because we're going to talk about deviations from people just doing their will rather than God's
yep.
will. You got it.
Terry,
yep.
Just want to call upon St. Bridget of Sweden, ask her to pray for us.
Oh, she's great.
St. Bridget of Sweden, today's her feast day in the church.
Yeah.
For 28 years, Bridget of Sweden lived as a devoted wife and mother of 8 children.
Yep.
Her husband passed away, and so she pursued a life of intense prayer in the heart of Rome. She served the poor, she taught her followers, and she laid the canonical foundations for a monastery in Sweden. St. Bridget, she also urged the Pope to return to Rome from Avignon, France, and the Swedish king to purify his motives for going to war.
Yeah.
St. Bridget died in 373, and in 1999, Pope John Paul II named her co-patroness of Europe, citing her as an example of authentic feminine holiness. She's a woman of audacious action, grounded in contemplative prayer. And she's also written, Terry, these prayers that are unbelievable.
Yeah.
The 15 prayers of St. Bridget of Sweden. If anybody ever says, well, I don't know what to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, go on your iPhone, download those prayers onto your iPhone, or they're on an app. The 15 prayers of St. Bridget of Sweden, go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you'll come out weeping. They are so, so powerful. I also want to remind you not to forget that July is the month dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in the month of July, we remember this month, moreover, by try to go to Mass as often as possible and receive the body and blood of Jesus throughout the week as often as possible. Try to go to holy hours more often in the month of July as often as possible. And just remember all those beautiful prayers composed by St. Thomas of Aquinas. Try to say them, you know, every single day when you're going to Mass and you're in front of the adoration or on your own private prayers, the beautiful prayers written by St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, O Salutaris and Tantum Ergo. Those would be prayers that you definitely would want to memorize in the month of July.
Jesse, I have one thing to say about St. Bridget. You know, she had nobility in her blood. So when she was growing up, she had servants all over the place with her, you know, 8 children. So she didn't have as much to do as a poor person. But the fact that she gave all of that up and then started working with the poor and serving them, I think it's even more because it's one thing to be poor and help the poor. It's another thing to be rich and then say, I'm going to go live like the poor. And actually, I'm going to be the poorest of the poor and serve them. So, St. Bridget, please pray for us. Hey, I want to bring Bishop Sheen in for a second. Full Sheen ahead. And I already quoted Bishop Sheen about the laity, but I'm just going to make a quickie. It says, Bishop Sheen says, if one loves, everything is easy. If one doesn't love, everything is hard. And I say that because, you know, St. Augustine said something similar centuries before when he said, love God and do what you want. and meaning that as long as we turn our life over to God and we love God, everything else falls in place.
Amen. Terry, also for those, we're always recommending that you read the daily mass readings, first reading, responsorial psalm, and today's gospel. Read the first reading today. It's very powerful. Yeah. It's about the story of Moses and the way God parts the Red Sea and the children of Israel across the waters.
Visualize it.
Just visualize it. I mean, if you want to talk about the power of God, I can't even wrap my mind around a person that can speak and part the sea in half and have tens of thousands of people walk through like if it's dry land. So if you want to know how amazing our God is, the God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you want to know how amazing he is, read today's first reading from Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 and following to 15, and you'll see the power of God. And that God, guess what? He loves you. He sent his son to die for your sins, and he lives in your soul when you're in a state of grace.
Well said. I wanted to quote something from the catechism later in the show. Remember, we said every single show we're going to give you a catechism chapter, or actually a paragraph to read. Why are we doing this? Because at Virgin Most Powerful, we want you to be studying your faith, not just during our broadcast, after hours. Take your catechism, your Bible to the holy hour that Jesse just mentioned to go to, and read and learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the scriptures and the catechism. They go hand in hand. When we come back, we'll have much more to share with you that will lift you up and give you reasons to love Jesus Christ in a more profound way. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, we say we take charity with clarity. Why clarity? Because we need to be clear about what we believe. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, we got a huge cultural topic that affects the Catholic faith on everything. The issue of transgender ideology. But before we do that, we're going to go on just talk about a couple of micro issues.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty good. Here's one. The BET founder, the first black billionaire, I said B, not M, B, the first black billionaire, he was interviewed, Terry. He says he's going right with Trump's economy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's name's Robert Johnson. He's the founder of the television channel. It's called the Black Entertainment Television, BET. Mm-hmm. And he was at the Trump International Golf Club back in 2016 over in New Jersey. And Robert Johnson, he praised the positive impact of Trump's presidency on black unemployment rates. So Robert Johnson, who's the founder of the Black Entertainment Television, and the first black billionaire in the U.S., he said this, something's going right
you think?
With the economy for black Americans. Yeah. And Johnson, he also says, you have to take encouragement from what's happening in the labor force and the job market. When you look at African American unemployment in over 50 years since the Bureau of Labor Statistics has been keeping the numbers, you've never had two things. African-American unemployment this low, and the spread between unemployment amongst whites and Africans, Americans also narrowing. And so this black billionaire, who's apolitical, Terry, he just, you know,
just the facts.
He's just saying, you know, wow, he says the black unemployment has declined since Trump has taken office back in January 2017. And he says, so when you look at it objectively, you have to say that something's going right with this president.
Absolutely. I've got some more good news, because I consider that good news. When people are working, Jesse, they can pay their bills. And let's face it, it's good for marriages, too. You know what I mean by that? If the finances are coming in and they're paying their bills, that keeps everybody happy. Because I think one big problem in marriages a lot of times is financial concerns. So
absolutely.
I'm grateful that the president is doing less regulation and putting people to work. I got a good news story before we go on, and that is the Texas governor signs a bill making it illegal, right, to kill babies who survive abortions. It's House Bill 16. It requires that for any child born alive after an attempted abortion, doctors must exercise the same degree of professional skill and care and diligence to preserve the life and the health of a child as a reasonable, diligent, and consciousness physician would render to any other child born alive in the same gestational age, specifically including immediate transfer to a hospital. Because we've seen, Jesse, and you know this, where the baby is born alive, and they go, just let the baby die. It'll be just a few minutes. Don't do anything. Well, I want to say thank you, Governor, the Governor of Texas. He's doing something that I think, and Governor Greg Abbott, my hat is tipped to you, because you can save lives that way. And I hope that eventually abortion will be never allowed in any of the 50 states.
Terry, this governor from Texas, I'll tell Abbott, you, he's one of the best I've ever seen, just objectively speaking.
Yeah.
And I think the reason he does have this real compassion just for life is because he's handicapped.
I did not know that, Jesse. Tell me more.
Every time you see him, he's always on a wheelchair. He's always on a wheelchair all the time. The governor from Texas.
Wow.
And so he can't walk. He hasn't been able to walk for years. So I don't know what happened to him. I'm sure we could find out real quick by looking it up. But nonetheless, I think because he's in a wheelchair, he governs from a wheelchair. I think he has empathy. He has a softer spot for people than people that are, don't have any physical incapacities. They're just heartless and godless.
True.
He's also a man of faith. The governor from Texas is also
I've heard that.
From everything that I've read, Terry, and people that know him, they say he's a deep man of faith.
I heard the same thing, Jess. Well, I just want to my hat goes off to him, because he's in a responsible position to do good. And you know what? God bless him, and also the members of the political parties that would do something like this, because Texas is, I think, the second most populated. Yeah, it's got 25 million members.
Second
to California.
Yep. Correct.
So praise God.
Yep. Terry, also, here's something I found very interesting is that most Mexicans seem to oppose this whole illegal immigration.
I thought you were the only one, Jesse.
I thought I was by myself. No, we're actually the majority. The Washington Post, which is no conservative paper, And so, in fact, some people call it the Washington Compost, but we'll just say the Washington Post. It says this. More than 6 in 10 Mexicans say migrants are a burden on their country. A 55% majority supports deporting migrants who travel through Mexico to reach the United States. So I'm in the majority. I thought I was in a minority position, but I'm not. So it looks like Mexico might be the next country to follow Italy. Italy also, Terry, was rejecting this whole immigration push,
this whole
open borders chaos and legal immigration. So the Italian Catholics, to be honest with you, they did a Pope Francis's push for this, open borders and this, unchecked illegal immigration. Well, now you have Mexican Catholics and the same thing. They seem to be pushing back. They're saying, no, we don't want this. And so I just hope that the noble roots of the Catholic Cristeros are praying for that country because, they as well as us, we need their prayers right about now, Terry.
Well said, Jesse. I'd like to jump to something very controversial, but the reason we do this is we want to give you good, compelling reasons to have a conversation with someone.
Sure, I think we got one more before we get into it. There's one more good news. Yeah.
Give me another good
news. Here's another. This is on the national cultural stuff. It says over half of Hispanic voters support citizenship question on census.
Oh, that is
once again, I'm in the majority. I thought I was on a minority position as a Mexican-American. A Harvard poll revealed, here it is again.
That's right.
55% of Hispanic voters support a citizenship question on the 2020 census. So what's this all about? Okay. Well, the liberal progressives in this country, Terry, they believe that we shouldn't have a question on the census form which says, are you an American citizen? President Trump believes that we should have it. So there's kind of a push and pull here. And right now, this is being fought in the courts. So if you go right to the actual Mexicans that live here in the Southwest, what do they believe? Do they believe that Trump is a racist because he wants to ask if you're a citizen on the 2020 census? Or do most Hispanics, are they for Trump's support of having that citizenship question on the ballot? Guess what? Just like in the chaos of the open borders and illegal immigration, once again, 55% of Hispanic voters here in America, in the U.S., they're for Trump. They're saying, yes, ask the question. We want to know if people are here illegally. That question should be there. So, Terry, I just see people, common sense is starting to come back, and people are starting to be less influenced by the political party that they were born and raised in through their parents and grandparents, and they're starting to think objectively what is good for the common good. It looks to me like Catholics are starting to think like Mexican Americans are they're starting to think like with the view of their Catholic faith. Instead of thinking like a political hack.
Well, I hate to be so political, Jesse, but I have to ask the question to you because you've written on this, knocked off the donkey. Isn't it a fair statement that the Democratic Party really sees the immigration, influx of immigration, as being future voters for their agenda? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, that's that's without a doubt, Terry. That's the way they look at Mexicans or anybody, people coming from Latin America south of the border. They look at them as a potential vote. And I'll tell you right now.
Tell me.
If you know how we would fix the border problem immediately, it would be fixed yesterday. This chaos of open borders and this illegal immigration, these caravans. You know how this would be taken care of immediately?
Tell me.
If everybody from south of the border voted Republican when they got here, guess what? The Democrats would have slammed the borders 40 years ago. But they don't say nothing, Terry, because the vast majority of them receive entitlements. They receive government handouts. They receive Section 8 housing. They receive all kinds of perks to vote Democrat. And that's why the Democrats want open borders. And that's why they want all this chaos with the caravans. And this is why they turn a blind eye towards illegal immigration.
And, Jess, that's why I say follow the money.
So what are you going to be talking about next, Terry?
Well, Jess, we're going to take a quick break, but I wanted to talk about, 10 reasons why transgenderism is the family's worst enemy. And why do I want to do this, Jess? And they have another article we're going to tell people to read about ideologies, that this ideology of transgenderism is riddled with contradictions. We have it on our show page, but I just want to give you the basics of 10 points that will help you in a conversation, because I know people call me all the time. Yeah, I'm at work and they say, hey, why are you Catholics so upset about homosexuality or transgenderism? Why don't you just let people live the way they want and shut up? You know, that kind of an attitude. And you're like, oh boy, thanks for asking. Well, I want to be able to, in an intellectual way, in a moral way, to call these people out and say, okay, here's 10 reasons why this is bad for your family. So that's what we're going to cover. I also want to just say I've been calling a lot of our folks who are monthly donors for Virgin Most Powerful. You'll probably get a call. I only have about 700 people to call. But I want to just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at Virgin Most Powerful. There's a reason why we are doing internet radio and many, about 50 other AM and FM stations are picking us up, is because we were told, I'll be honest with you, we were called Cowboy Catholics Out West, Terry and Jesse show. And then we were told that, hey, you guys are too strong on your positions. We're no longer wanting you. So we've had to get our own network, which is Virgin Most Powerful. We couldn't have done it without you. And I thank you. About a year and a half into it, and we're growing because of you. So if you're not a monthly a donor for us and you want to become one, I'd love to chat with you. Call me on my cell, 661-972-7872. And by the way, I'm going to be in Wichita, Kansas the first week in August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th for the family conference. It's our 20th anniversary. Steve Ray will be there. Tim Staples will be there. Look up Midwest Catholic Family Conference. Jesse, where are you going to be at that men's conference in Detroit, aren't you?
Yes, I'll be August 2nd and 3rd and 4th at the Church Militant Men's Conference. That's in Dearborn, Michigan. If you want information, go to my website, jesseromero.com, or go to Church Militant's website. And my new book comes out, by the way, next week. It's called The Devil in the City of Angels.
Oh, Jesse.
Devil in the City of Angels. It's being released next week by 10 books.
Awesome.
And it's probably some of the most powerful stories I've ever shared from a pulpit, from behind a microphone, about my encounters with the diabolical, with sorcerers and witches.
Wow, when we come back, we're going to cover the issue of transgenderism, and we're going to give you good reasons to defend our position as committed Christians. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, speaking the truth with charity.
Amen, brother.
The transgender issue, Terry, is an issue that really it's spun off from the homosexual LGBTQ issue.
Of course.
Okay, there's this one article, you're going to have to read it on your own. It's on our webpage, thenpr.org. Mine's jesseromero.com. It's called Transgender Ideology Riddled with Contradictions. Here are the big ones. But we want to go now it's another article. It's a pithy article, and it's 10 reasons why transgenderism is the family's worst enemy.
Yep.
Here's reason number one, okay? Reason number one is that transgenderism is tyrannical. What do I mean by that? On May 13th, 2016, the Obama administration issued a sweeping order that all public schools allow members of one biological sex to use the showers, locker rooms, and restrooms of the opposite sex. I pound my head. I say, what was this man thinking about? Imagine if his two daughters, if some big football player dropped his pants next to his two daughters in a bathroom and began using the toilet. Of course, you know, he probably goes, his daughters probably go to Ivy League schools where that's not allowed, but be that as it may. So in one fell swoop, because of Barack Obama and Joe Biden, by the way, the federal government imposed transgender bathrooms on all public schools in the nation. States that opposed the measure had been threatened with severe penalties, such as the loss of federal funds under the Obama administration. So the legitimate concerns of parents for their children, it was just swept aside. It was brushed aside. The right to privacy and the importance of guarding our children's innocence was likewise trampled upon. And the transgender movement, just like Islam, is only satisfied with total submission. And under this new tyranny, schools, universities, businesses, and even churches are no longer free to follow their moral principles. Christian morality is not tolerated. Terry?
Jesse, number two, I want to get through all 10, so I'm going to go quickly here. It fuels child abuse. Think about this. Transgenderism is especially harmful to children. According to the American College of Pediatricians, the public promotion of transgenderism constitutes a form of child abuse. And you can read these 10 points, too, on our page. But conditioning children to believe that a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonations of the opposite sex is normal and healthy. Doggone it, Jesse, it's child abuse. And what you said earlier about what the Obama administration did, it's horrible. It's basically corrupting our children. So that's where the child abuse comes. Let's go to number three, Jess.
Yep. It contradicts biology and science.
That's right.
Yep. Gender ideology, it contradicts basic biology. The same progressive liberal movement that once worshipped at the secular altar of science to the exclusion of God, to the exclusion of the supernatural.
Yep, anything about God.
Yeah. Now they've turned against science because, you know, science used to be their dogma.
Not now.
But now all the scientific evidence that disproves the transgender narrative, it's just discarded. They just simply just dismiss it. But here's what the American College of Pediatricians,
there it is.
Here's what they say. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
They say this, quote, human sexuality is an objective biological binary trait. XY and XX are genetic markers of health, not genetic markers of a disorder. The norm for human design is to be conceived either male or female. Human sexuality is binary by design. That means it's two.
Yep.
with the obvious purpose being the reproduction and the flourishing of the human species. This principle is self-evident. Individuals with DSDs, that's called disorders of sex development, do not constitute a third sex. By the way, so this is a different topic. You know, it has nothing to do with the transgender issue. This topic of what's called, what they just said, DSD, disordered sexual development. Here's what the National Catholic Bioethics Center says about DSD, the disordered sexual development. It means mixed sexual identity. That's what DSD means. These disorders present ambiguous sexual identity and certain operations done to confirm a person in the dominant sex aims to correct a pathological condition.
Wow.
Such operations should not be thought of as a changing of a person's sex, but rather confirming what is originally ambiguous. This is a very, very small percentage of the population when body parts are not physically well developed and there has to be an operation done in order to extenuate or to further develop those body parts to to make sure that they are consistent with what they are, with XX or XY.
Yeah.
So that's called disordered sexual development. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, transgender.
Well said. I'm going to give you a paragraph 1767 later in the show from the Catechism of the Catholic Church on passion and moral life that ties into all of this. But let's go to number four. Biological sex cannot change. Those who embrace the transgender ideology, this is what they pretend, that men can morph into a woman or that women can morph into a man. But their claim is false. Just like I claim I'm 6'5". I'm 5'4". Just because I say it doesn't make it happen. So it is physically impossible. Physiologically impossible to change a person's sex. Just like I can't be 6'5". Since the sex of each individual is encoded in the genes. XX if female, XY if male. Now, surgery can only create the appearance of the other sex, explains Dr. Richard P. Fitchburn, M.D., Philip M. Sutton, Ph.D., and Dale O'Leary. All three, in a well-documented study, these doctors affirm that sexual identity is written on every cell of the body and can be determined through DNA testing. It cannot be changed. Now, just this
science is on our side, Terry.
Yeah,
just like on the abortion issue.
That's right.
Ben Shapiro, he held the big sign this year. He spoke at the Walk for Life in Washington. You know what he said?
Yeah.
Science is on our side.
Yeah.
On this issue, guess what? Science is on our side.
Well said. And you know, common sense says all this, but it isn't that common. But when you're talking to somebody, bring these points up because what are they going to say? It's written, every cell of their body can be determined through DNA testing. It cannot be changed because you say it's changed. This is why they're living in la-la land. And I'm going to point out later why they have this mentality. You know what it comes down to? Sin. Let's go to number five.
Yeah, they're just corrupted by sin. They don't have a relationship with God. And this leads them down a dark, dark path. Number five is that this whole, we're talking about transgenderism, why it's 10 reasons why transgenderism is the family's worst enemy. I would say the family's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
It warps manhood and womanhood. Transgender ideology claims that biological reality does not determine one's sex. Feelings do.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And that's a classic trait of liberalism, modernism, leftism, is they appeal to feelings, not facts. Feelings, not science. Therefore, the differences between male and female, much like the clothing we wear, are separate from our identity and are constantly in flux. That means constantly changing.
Yep.
Manhood and womanhood are mere labels used to describe what we see but lack any substantial basis. Feminist ideologue, lesbian writer Simone de Beauvoir affirmed that, quote, one is not born, but rather becomes a woman.
Really?
Is this microphone on? Let me check. Yeah, it's on. Okay, hear the stupidity again. Here's a feminist lesbian, very famous writer for the left, Simone de Beauvoir. She says, one is not born, but rather becomes a woman. Terry, I'm going to drop the mic.
What else can you do?
The whole point of feminism is not so much to eliminate the so-called oppressive male class, but to abolish every difference between the sexes. And here we see how the homosexual, transgender, and the feminist movements, they're all allied. Yeah. They're all connected at the hip.
Oh, yeah.
They share the final, they share the same final goal. What is that? The destruction of male and female, manhood and womanhood, which ultimately, Terry, is the destruction of the family, which the last seer of Fatima told us that would be the final attack of Satan upon the world, the attack upon the family.
Well said. And number six, it destroys reason. But check this out in your catechism. And I want everybody to know this is your homework right now. Paragraph 1767. See if this fits in where it's destroying reason. This is where it's passion and moral life from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It says, in themselves, passions are neither good nor evil. They are morally qualified only to the extent that they effectively engage reason and will. Passions are said to be voluntary either because they are commanded by the will or because the will does not place obstacles in their way. It belongs to the perfection of the moral and human good that the passions be governed by reason. You know what the passions are being governed by here, Jess? Lust.
Emotions by the
and lust.
By the emotions.
Yeah,
right.
Emotions.
Yeah, lust. Yeah, by the
Okay, here's
and that's one of the it's one of the seven deadly sins. Absolutely.
Here's what this says about this. A fundamental part of logic and reason is the idea that things have a purpose. You think?
That comes from Aristotle through St. Thomas Aquinas.
Of course, Bishop Sheen talks about the purpose of our eyes, for example, is to provide us with sight. The wings of a bald eagle exist to provide it with flight. Our lungs exist in order for us to breathe and absorb oxygen. Our eyes exist in order to, our ears exist in order to hear. Likewise, the primary purpose of human sexuality is procreation. However, transgenderism, like homosexuality and feminism, deny this principle and therefore attack the human reason itself, which is a form of deliberate madness. Wow, number seven's coming up after the quick break. These are helping us understand how we can dialogue with people who say transgenderism is like, it's okay. No, when we come back, we'll give you some more reasons to help you defend the faith. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Talking about 10 reasons why transgenderism is the family's worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And the whole transgender movement, Terry, what they've done, it's really, number one, it's self-destructive.
Oh, yeah.
They're tyrannical. In other words, they're like, they start calling you names if you don't agree with them. There's no science behind it. It's immoral. It's abusive. It's unhealthy. And it's also being used by the Democrats as identity politics. So let's go to the next point. I think it's point number seven.
That's correct. Yep.
Transgenderism is self-destructive. It says the homosexual movement shatters lives, regret, despair, and suicide is common among those who adopt the T of the LGBT lifestyle. That's transgenderism, the T. Walt Heyer, we've actually interviewed him before in the past. He's a man who regrets having lived like a woman for many years.
Yep.
In fact, he's got a website. It's called sexchangeregret.com. Sexchangeregret.com. Here's what he says. I knew I wasn't the real woman. No matter what my identification document said, I had taken extreme steps to resolve my gender conflict, but changing genders hadn't worked. It was obviously a masquerade, close quote. Walt Heyer also says, a former transgender says, transgenders not only annihilate their birth identity, they destroy everyone and everything in their wake, family, wife, children, brothers or sisters, and career. Certainly this demonstrates the behavior of someone hell-bent on total self-destruction and self-harm, close quote. And also, the stress involved with living a lifestyle that violates nature is apparent. Because according to American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 41% of those who identify as transgender in America have attempted to commit suicide. That's 25 times higher than the national average.
You know, that's a very compelling argument to share with someone discussing this topic, folks. I mean, these are really good things. Like I said, all these 10 points are on our website and also Jesse's website. You should print them and have them with you because they're very compelling. Number eight, where will transgenderism lead us? Trans species? You know, we were already told that, Jesse, some guy wants to marry his computer. What? So if a man can pretend to be a woman, hey, why can't he also claim to be non-human? Such a relativistic conclusion is regretfully here. It's called trans species, also known as the furries of other kins. People with species identity disorder. They got so many disorders, Jesse. I can't even keep track of them all, bro.
I just call it concupiscence because of our fallen nature. There That's all it is.
You nailed it. So these disorders consider themselves non-human and are featured as homosexual parades? What? The arguments used by the transgender species movement to question their human status are essentially the same as those of transgender movement. When feelings, like I said in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, when feelings replace reality, logic dies, okay? When you forget about reality and logic, you know, what's that got to do with it? I feel this way. The intellect, the highest part of man, is degraded. The animal rules. Boy, is that our culture? And our godless culture pressures us to play along with these depraved fantasies. Jesse, that nails it. Once these disorders are regarded as normal, what can possibly resist the unbridled passions from introducing greater forms of depravity. What will protect human reason from further destruction? I'll tell you what's going to protect it. The Catholic faith and living out our Catholic faith will protect the dignity of the family.
Well, the Catholic faith is what made America great.
Yep.
And that's what one of our friends, Tim Gordon, he argues in a book. And he demonstrates that the greatness of America came from the founding fathers holding to the first principles of the Catholic faith. One nation under God, you know, liberty from many one. Terry, but what you just said right now, this is so disturbing because I could see this already happening. They're saying that at these homosexual parades, there's already people marching that are calling themselves trans species, which what they're saying, in other words, somebody could be saying, I know I look like a man, but I'm really a dog. I know I look like a woman, but I'm really a cow.
Dressed like that. I've
That's
seen
trans
that.
Species. Terry, the article says it's not something in the future. There are already people right now claiming that.
That's a fact, Jesse.
And they've already given it. Of course, the medical community has already assigned it a definition or an identifying marker. They call it species identity disorder.
Unbelievable.
Point number nine. Lord, help us.
Yes.
Virgin most powerful, pray for us. Transgender ideology is going to lead to religious persecution. The transgender ideology, it's favored by the secularists, the leftists, because the transgender ideology, it could spark the worst type of religious persecution as it imposes a perversion of the mind, beginning with small children. And those of us who oppose it are targeted by this new religion of equality, which obliges children to attend sensitivity training and gender indoctrination.
Yep.
This is already happening, by the way, in government jobs.
School teachers are getting it.
Yeah. Indeed, those who cheer the homosexual movement, whether they know it or not, are de facto servants of this new religion. Yep. It's doctrine, transgender ideology. It's false God, radical equality, and reckless liberalism. It's ministers, leaders of the homosexual movement. It's acolytes, the liberal media, immoral politicians, and sadly, liberal members of the clergy. It's Inquisition, anti-discrimination laws that threaten order and peace. It's excommunication. And anybody who speaks the truth is labeled a homophobe or a transphobe or simply a hater.
Jesse, you and I have been named on all of those points because we speak what God teaches about human sexuality. Number 10 point is the one that I think is the most important point because it offends God. The desire to change one's biological sex not only denies reality, but like I say, it also offends God. Nobody is born male or female by chance. You know why? Because it's ruled by God's providence. But in accordance with the divine plan of divine providence, before God says, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. This is in Jeremiah 1:5. God created male and female. Genesis 1:27. You know, it's not my opinion. It's God's revelation. Therefore, to intentionally contradict the biological nature of mankind, here it comes, Jess, the number one reason why this is bad. It's an act of revolt against our Creator. Who's number one on revolting against God? The devil. Just thought I'd mention that. Charity calls us to help those afflicted or confused about their own sex, not only to increase their confusion, but offering them a false solution. Here's charity does not rejoice, okay? That's false charity. Does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with what? The truth will set you free. 1 Corinthians, therefore, mercy can never stand in opposition to truth. Can I repeat that? Mercy can never stand in opposition to truth, for only the truth will set us free. John chapter 8, verse 32. Just wrap it up, because we got a couple minutes left.
The catechism actually talks about transgender, in case you're wondering. Say, okay, that's a thick book. Does the church say anything in that big, thick book? Yep. It's in paragraph 2333.
Good.
Okay. Here's what it says. Every man and woman should acknowledge and accept his sexual identity.
Yep.
physical, moral, and spiritual difference and complementarity are oriented towards the goods of marriage and the flourishing of family life. In other words, that's why God made men men and women women, with those body parts for the purposes of union, for the purposes of bringing forth new life and bringing saints to heaven. It says, the harmony of the couple and of society depends in part on the way in which the complementarity, needs, and mutual support between the sexes are lived out. And remember, when you want to know how many, genders there are, how many sexes there are according to God, well, the Bible's pretty clear. God created man in his own image, male and female, he created him. Genesis 1:27. How about this? He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Yep. Genesis 1:28. How about this? When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It seems to me that God is very clear.
Very clear.
How many sexes there are, how many genders there are. There's two. Terry, I just want to just pray, call upon St. Michael the Archangel.
Absolutely.
This is evil, what's happening.
It is.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Lord, save us from the scourge of this transgender, this phony religion, Lord, that seeks to destroy the Catholic faith and family life. Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, you evil spirits of transgender. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered you. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesse was...
Terry, I had a Catholic meltdown.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you did. Jesse just opened up the catechism to where it says the sixth commandment, okay? Paragraph 2331. I would encourage you to read that section because it's very, very clear. And you know, Jess, this is not in the catechism. This is my approach. The parts don't fit. A man and a woman, you mentioned earlier, are made in a certain way with certain blessings. And... this is designed by not Jess Romero or Terry Barber. It's God's design. So I just want to remind everybody, let's do God's will because that's where our happiness will be fulfilled. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Ephesians 6:11.
Yep.
Know your faith. Live your faith.
Amen.
Share your faith. Time is short. Every single one of us, we've only got a certain amount of breath, you know, exhales and inhales in our lungs. Live for Jesus. Spend yourself for Jesus. Become holy or die trying. There's nothing else to do with this life, Terry.
Amen. And that was Ephesians chapter 6. It says, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, having done everything to hold your ground. May God bless you in your fight to save your soul and your family's soul. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests.
Hello, my love.
My Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.